in church is the phrase, I just want to be used by God. I know somewhere along the lines, I don't know how long you've been in church, but if you've been at church for at least a week, you've heard that. You've heard that saying from some Christian that wants to let you know when it's proclaiming, use me, Lord. But I believe that Pastor Sterling, I believe that phrase is in jeopardy because it's starting to lose its true significance because it has been diluted and watered down to fit into a Western worldview where God is more like Santa Claus that gives us what we want than our Creator who has birthed both his plan and purpose inside of us. So God using us has become more connected to what we can get from God than what God needs to get from us. God using us is now associated to more blessings and more stuff. And we as Christians sometimes hold our usability for God hostage until the stuff and blessings we are expecting from God show up. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about, because half of what God wants to use us to do, our excuse is that we are waiting for God to give us what we think we need in order to do it. And all we're really asking for is more blessings. The more God blesses me, the more I believe I can be used by God. And until we see it, we don't think God can use us. But the problem with that kind of thinking is that it freezes our faith. It aborts our assurance. It discards our dependence and coerces our convictions of the true and living God. I was on Instagram, and this is where God really convicted me, because I told you I struggled last week to figure out how to use this scripture. Was going to skip over it. Had planned to use a scripture out of Acts. But it was this week where I was on Instagram the other day, and I saw an old clip from an R&B singer, Lauryn Hill, around this exact subject. And it was Lauryn Hill that God used to convict me, because what she said was both insightful and incriminating at the same time. You see, she said, the R&B singer, not the preacher, said, in order to be used by God, to really be used by God, you gotta wanna be used by God. She said, we always want to be used for the glorious jobs, but that's not being used. She said, sometimes in order to be used, you have to be humiliated. You have to be kicked. You have to be beaten. In other words, being used by God isn't all that it's cracked up to be. I wish I could get at least one witness that would admit that, God, I just want to be you, sounds good in theory. But it doesn't always look like what we thought it would when we put it into practice. We glamorize being used by God, and we equate being used by God to our accomplishments and our successes and our blessings. But being used by God isn't about your accomplishments. It's not about your successes, and it's not even about your blessings. But being used by God is about being obedient to whatever God's will is for our lives. The Bible is full of those God used, and it's not as glamorous as we sometimes want to make it seem. Abraham was used by God and had to leave everything he knew. Noah was used by God and had to endure a flood. Moses was used by God and was ridiculed by those he was sent to save. Joseph was used by God and his own brothers threw him in a pit. Daniel was used by God and somehow ended up in a lion's den. Through Hebrew boys were used by God, but found themselves in a fiery furnace. David was used by God, but then had to fight a giant. Esther was used by God and almost lost her position and her life. Paul was used by God and ended up in a prison. Mary was used by God and had to watch her only son executed. Jesus, the Son of God, was used by his own father and found himself stretched on a cross for the sins of the world. Does it look as glamorous as you thought it did? But being used by God ain't always what we think it is. So you say you want to be used. So being used by God isn't as flattering, attractive, and seductive as we sometimes would want it to be. The problem is that from the pulpits to the pews, we mistakenly mischaracterize the cost of being used by God, and Christians now have a problematic perception of what being used by God actually means. We want the glory, but we don't want the grind. We want the triumphs, but we don't want the tests. We want more blessings, but we don't want more burdens. We want the prestige, but we don't want the pain. We want the honor, but we don't want the humiliation and the humility that goes along with it. We want the reputation, but we don't want the ridicule. But being used by God doesn't come with stipulations and preconditions, but God is sovereign. Let me say it again. God is sovereign. That means that whatever God wants to do, and however God wants to do it, that is at God's discretion, and you can't determine how God uses you. So you say you want to be used by God. So we find ourselves in this text. Peter wanted to be used. Yeah, Peter wanted to be used by God. Y'all remember Peter from last week. Peter's the one who Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" And asked him, "Then feed my sheep. Do you love me? Then feed my lambs." That was Peter. Peter said, "Jesus, you know I love you. Jesus, why would you even ask me these questions?" And then Jesus sets him up for the kill. So you say you want to be used. And then he goes on to tell him how he used to be. But now he's going to have to deal with the reality of his own crucifixion, the same crucifixion that Jesus encountered. And there are three things I believe we see in this text. The first thing is that when you say you want to be used by God, you have to remind yourself that everything is out of your control. Look at somebody, tell them, "It's out of my control. It's out of my control." In verse 18, Jesus shares with Peter that when you were younger, he said, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. He said, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. You see, Jesus was letting Peter know that what he used to be able to do was no longer an option for him. Peter's decision to be used by God came with a price. It was the price of independence and self-reliance. Going where he wanted to go and living the way he wanted to live was no longer a luxury that Peter could afford because he said he wanted to be used by God. And many times we say we want to be used by God, but when it comes down to what that really means, we're afraid. We are fearful of no longer being able to do things our own way. We are worried about what we will end up losing in the process. We are terrified that God's plan will not match up with the plan that we've already outlined for our own lives. We are shook that being used by God will expose our weaknesses more than allowing us to work in our strengths, because being used by God comes with the sometimes harsh reality that we voluntarily have to give up control of how we want to be used. It means we surrender over our own plans, our own agendas, our own goals, and even our own dreams. It means not accusing God for a bad hand, but believing any hand that God deals us is an opportunity for God to still use us. It means trusting God more than we trust ourselves. It means believing in God more than we believe in ourselves. It means abandoning what we thought we wanted and accepting whatever God throws our way. That's why being used is a sacrifice of self and an offering of obedience, because it requires us to let go of the steering wheel of our own lives. So you say you want to be used. I'm just still asking the question this morning, but I need somebody to understand, because somebody may feel defeated. Somebody may feel discouraged, because why would I want to be used if God is going to use me however he wants to use me? But can I help you here? Because even Jesus dealt with the tension of what it meant to be used by God. You don't believe me? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was ultimately struggling with that very thing when he said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." You see, being used by God is accepting God's will to be done no matter what God's will is for your life. It's where we mature in our faith. It's where we grow in our relationships. It's where our faith muscles get a little bit stronger. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, in the same way, we can see and understand only a little about who God is now, as if we're peering at his reflection in a poor mirror. But then it goes on to say, but someday we're going to see him in his completeness, face to face. So whether we understand it now or not, doesn't matter, because if we'll just be faithful and let God use us, one day he will sit with us and we will see and understand God's entire picture for our lives. And he will tell us face to face, you've been faithful over a few things, and now I'll make you ruler over many. That's the goal of being used. It's knowing that we accomplish what God set out for our lives. It's knowing that we made God smile. It's knowing that we lived out the purpose that he created for us. The material stuff we gained doesn't mean a thing. The homes we owned doesn't mean a thing. The people who knew us doesn't mean a thing. The money in your bank account doesn't mean a thing, because what does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world but still lose their soul? But you say you want to be used. All that matters is, will you be faithful over a few things? Is there anybody here that'll tell God, I still want to be used? I still want to bring glory to your kingdom. Look at somebody, look at somebody, look at somebody, tell them it's out of your control. The second thing is, I knew this was a sermon that wouldn't hoop nobody, but it's all good. I'd have an assignment. The second thing this morning is, so you say you want to be used, then you got to understand that God's glory comes from something having to die. Look at somebody, tell them, are you ready to die? Okay, let me show you where it is. Whenever I saw this text, it always seemed, Brother Marcus, it always seemed so morbid that I never really attempted to see its relevance. It always seemed like, why would Jesus have this scripture where he's telling Peter exactly how he gonna die? Said they gonna take you to be stretched like I was stretched. They gonna put nails in you like they put nails in me. You gonna go where you don't wanna go. What kind of scripture? How can I be encouraged? How can I uplift somebody with that kind of scripture? But then when I look at the text, it says they will lead you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Y'all missed it. Then he said to him, follow me. I know this is a heavy scripture filled with the truth of what it means to follow Christ and to be used by God. And that truth is that in order for God to use us, we must be willing to let some stuff die in us so that we can glorify God. As difficult as this sounds, the reality is that being used by God is a constant and daily process of dying to some stuff. It's us dying to our ambitions, dying to our own desires, and dying to our own cravings, our own appetites. It's us dying to our own pride and our own ego. It's us dying to the nastiness. It's us dying to the way we hate on folks. It's us dying to the negative thoughts and the negative ways that we talk to people. I'm trying to help somebody here. Look at somebody, tell them some stuff got to die in you so that you can be used by God. Matthew, the 16th chapter, 24 through 25 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For anyone who keeps his life for himself shall lose it. And And anyone who loses his life for me shall find it again. And then Luke, the 14th chapter, the 27th verse says, and no one can be my disciple, oh God, who does not carry his own cross and follow me. You see, it's the carrying of the cross that reminds us of those things in us that must die so that God can get glory out of our lives. I'm trying to help somebody here. I'm trying to help you understand there's a cost to you being used. You ever been in a store? You ever saw something that caught your eye? I mean, it was something you really thought you wanted. But then you saw what it cost. And you had a dilemma because you had to decide after seeing the cost whether it was still worth getting it or not. I'm trying to help you. You see, Peter recognized this Jesus while he was on a boat in verse 7. And it says he jumped into the water. That was Peter seeing what caught his eye. Then in verse 18, Jesus says with Peter how he will die. That is Peter being confronted with the cost. And then he tells him afterwards, follow me. That is Peter now having to make a decision. Do I still want to buy what this thing's going to cost me? You see, when we accept being used by God, it also means we have a decision to decide whether it's worth the cost. I wish I had at least 5 folks that would be a witness and say it's been worth it. It's worth what I might lose because of what I'm going to gain. It's worth what I'm going to surrender because of what I'm going to save. It's worth what I got to relinquish because of the inheritance I'm going to receive. Is there anybody in this house that will say I will die so that God gets glory out of my God gets glory out of my life? Look at somebody, tell them, I've been dying, I've been dying. I ain't always understood it. I've been dying. I've had to cry with it, but I've been dying. Pain comes with it. I've been dying. But can I tell you, I thank God I've got a new life. Anybody here got a new life? Anybody feel different? Don't get mad at the death. Give God glory for the resurrection. Because even though the stuff is dying in me, God is resurrecting some stuff that I didn't even know was there. And I thank God I am a new creature. Last thing is this. So you say you want to be used by God. I like this last part of the text. Minister Bruce, so you want to be used. Thank you, sir. The last thing is this. That if you really want to be used by God, look at somebody, tell them, you got to stay in your lane. So in verse 20 and 21, it says, Peter, after Jesus had said what he said to him, told him to follow him, it says that Peter turns around and saw behind him the disciple Jesus loved. And Peter asked Jesus, what about him? I got what it's going to cost me. But what about the one that you love? I understand what you're telling me I'm going to have to go through. I just want to make sure he got to go through what I got to go through. Jesus replies, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? That should be the word right there. I shouldn't have to expound on that. Jesus said it. This is where so many of us get off track. When it comes to being used by God, we spend too much time looking and wondering how God is using those around us, that we lose focus on how God wants to use us. We get distracted. We got it. We want God to use us the way God is using those around us. Some of us get nosy, meddling in business affairs that are no concern of ours, trying to figure out why God is using someone in the way that really we want to be used. We get frustrated looking at the path that God is taking others on, which seems so much better than the path we are currently finding ourselves on. And the danger is that we end up so caught up in the lanes of those around us that we get frustrated and never fully get used the way God wants to use us. You see, being used by God is not a competition or a race against others. It's about being faithful to what God has put on your plate. Learning how to just stay in your own lane. Look at somebody, tell them, stay in your lane. The way God is using someone else should be of no concern to us unless we are supporting, uplifting, encouraging, and praying for their journey. Jesus' response to Peter's question, what is that to you? It's really the question we sometimes need to ask ourselves so that we stay focused on how and why God wants to use us. God's plan of who he uses and how he decides to use them has absolutely nothing to do with our own race. Galatians 6, 4, and 5 says it like this: pay careful attention to your own work, for there you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct, our own race. Something I learned in track is that an athlete is subject to disqualification if they don't stay in the lane that they were assigned in the beginning. So even if the athlete finishes before everyone else, if they end up in someone else's lane, their victory is ruled out. And the challenge for too many Christians is that we are too busy in the lanes of others that we are disqualifying ourselves from truly being used the way God wants to use us. We are so consumed in someone else's lane that we never truly stay in our own lane. Look at somebody, tell them, I got my own race, and God's given me my own lane. God can't get the glory from using you while you are perpetrating someone else's purpose and cloning someone else's call. Jesus. But what God has for us, it's just for us. The way God wants to use us is just for us. The race that God has for us is just for us. The lane that God has put in front of us is just for us. I love the way 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 27th verse says it. It says, therefore, oh God, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way is not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, this is word, y'all. This ain't Reverend Bill. The 16th verse says, holding fast to the word of life, so that in that day of Christ, I will have reason to glorify, because I did not run in vain and I did not toil in vain. In other words, God used us so that when the race is finished, we can say with confidence and conviction, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. The songwriter says it like this: if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. Standing all over the church this morning.